how can we engineer an environment where work makes our lives better, not worse? That's the goal. I don't think the goal should be to minimize work. It should be to how can we make work make the rest of our lives better?
How do you create an unshakable business? I crossed $100 million in net worth by the age of 28. Now I'm growing acquisition.com into a billion-dollar portfolio. In this podcast, I share the lessons I've learned in scaling big businesses and helping our portfolio companies do the same. Buckle up and let's build.
Seems like no one wants to work anymore. Like we've got like hump day. We're talking about Taco Tuesday. We're talking about Sunday mimosas. We're talking about every which way that we can avoid work rather than do it. I would say that a lot of people feel this way and say these things because there's this narrative that work is bad and that work has to be punishing and that work's something we want less of. And what I want to talk about is why that is wrong. It is not true. It is only true in certain situations. And I want to talk about how you can engineer your life so that you get to avoid those situations and be in ones where work is actually good and you want more of it. So what I want to talk about today is why so many people think they hate their work and are constantly trying to minimize and escape it. I was actually on LinkedIn the other day and I was looking at all these posts that were popping up. And a lot of them were basically people who, I don't know, they sell you on like having a business that takes you X amount of hours a week, a business that, you know, supports the life you love and all of these things. And I actually just felt really sad because I think there was a time for me when I thought that work was bad and work sucked and I wanted to minimize time spent working. And I see that there's a lot of people now playing up this narrative that work is bad and work means punishment and work, if you work for a company, you're never going to be happy. You've got to be happy as an entrepreneur. And then when you're an entrepreneur, you can only work a certain amount of hours. Otherwise, there's something wrong with you and it's a punishing experience. And I want people to do whatever works for them. But I think that there is a huge argument to be made for people making massive generalizations based off of specific circumstances and then making decisions that affect their entire life based off of these like couple specific instances. And they're taking advice from people on LinkedIn who are trying to sell them some course on a 4-hour business. And so it's like, it just pissed me off. And that's why I think I got to thinking and I wanted to message that to people, which is imagine if you used the spare time to build a life that you love rather than trying to escape from your life. The concept of trying to minimize work comes from the experience or belief that work is punishing. So we have one or two instances where we have a job or we own a business that doesn't go well, or let's be real, we're inexperienced. Therefore, we don't like it because it's challenging and we're failing and then we feel bad about ourselves. And then what happens is that we take that and generalize it to all work and say that all work sucks because of these couple instances that did suck. Maybe we worked for a company. That happens. Maybe it wasn't even a company. It was just a boss. That happens. Maybe our business was really hard in the beginning. Welcome to business. But it's like, if you don't see any of those things through, all that you leave yourself with is this belief that work is punishing. And in many cases, like I said, it is true that there are certain circumstances that are punishing. You can have a boss who is suppressing and demeaning. You can work at a company that is and doesn't care about its customers. And you can have a business that's really hard and punishing because maybe you picked the wrong market. But I think that a lot of people end up punishing themselves in not just the short term, but they punish themselves for the entire rest of their lives by not showing themselves what they're capable of because they're constantly running from work rather than towards it. And that's because they don't know how to structure or engineer their life in a way where they do have rewarding work and where they can seek it out, where they understand how to look for a workplace that is rewarding, how to look for a boss that's rewarding, or how to build a company that is. And so because of that, there's this constant separation between work and life. And people like me who have found a way to make work rewarding are seen as workaholics and you work too much and you're crazy. You work 14 hours a day. Yes, because I love it and it makes the rest of my life better. And most people, they've had one or two instances where work makes their life worse. And so then they generalize that to everything else. So like a lot of people, I see them leave corporate jobs because they were punished only to pursue a business that then minimizes the time commitment because now they've generalized that all work is bad and it's indefinitely that way. So it's like we take all this time that we're trying to avoid work. We're trying to build a life that we love outside of work as if you can separate life. And it's like, what if we took that time and we put it towards figuring out a way to engineer a business or a life where you actually love what you do, and you actually want to maximize the time you spend doing it rather than minimize it. And so what that could mean is, like, let's think about a world in which you have a business that involves your children and you get to have them participate in, or you get to have a business where you work with your spouse, or a job where you work with your spouse, or you get to support a cause that you're very passionate about, or you get to build a business where you get to impact employees and customers' lives in a way that means a lot to you, or a way that you get to use your business as a vehicle to make other people's lives better. And I say it because, like, it's really sad to me that I see all these people trying to minimize their time spent working because of one or two experiences that were bad. And now they've just handicapped themselves for the rest of their lives by making this massive generalization. It's the same as, like, the girl who goes on, she has two bad relationships. And then she says, you know what? I'm going to be single forever. And I'm like, girl, you don't need to be single. You just need to understand what to look for in the right relationship, or understand how to build the right relationship, rather than avoid it for the rest of your life. And I think a lot of people don't know that, like, where I came from, the reason I do what I do is because I had a job that sucked, is because I had a boss that sucked. And I said to myself, I never want this experience for people, and I will create a business where I get to have an impact on people's lives by creating a culture where people actually like what they do, and creating a culture where our customers also get to experience a great service or a great team or great interactions, because they also get to see people who actually like what they do. And so by consequence, it makes everyone else's lives better, not worse. And the way that I thought about it was, like, I would love a business where I get to work with my spouse because I like working a lot because I've engineered it that way. And so I want somebody who can be in there with me. And then also, like, I would love to build a culture where people love what they do. Therefore, we can have friendships, because it's not like I'm their boss punishing them all day. It's like I'm somebody who's helping them grow and get better at a job that they like. So I took a job at a gym, and I was a trainer there. And the first boss I had was fantastic. He did a lot of things right that I don't think I ever would have known. He was investing in my growth. He was constantly checking in on me, having one-on-ones, asking me if I was reaching my goals, like trying to invest in me, giving me books to read, like having multiple meetings with me per week, encouraging me, constantly telling me that I could do things that I didn't think I was capable of. And he left to go work somewhere else, and a new boss came in. And that boss was all of the opposite things. And he was punishing. He yelled at me. He demeaned me. He told me he wanted to run me over with his truck and light me on fire. He threatened me if I wasn't doing well at work, which of course I wasn't, because I didn't want to work for him. And every single day when I drove up to work, I specifically remember sitting in my car, and I would just try not to cry, because I was, one, I was scared of him. So going to work was just like a very stressful experience. And two, I just felt like I was no longer doing anything that was meaningful to me, because he had taken all the meaning out of it by making it such a punishing experience. And so after I left that job, the first thing I thought to myself was, like, I have to have my own business so I can do things the right way. Not because I think that all work is this way, but because I would love to set an example for people of what it can be rather than what people think it needs to be. And I think I noticed this void in the workplace of bosses like the first one I had. Because after that, the jobs, like, more people were bad than not. You know what I mean? And so I think that was when I made it my mission. Like, I always want to build a place where people genuinely want to work, where people genuinely come here and say, my life is better for having this job. My relationship is better for having this job. My health is better for having this job, not worse. Right. And so it's like, how can we engineer an environment where work makes our lives better, not worse? That's the goal. I don't think the goal should be to minimize work. It should be to, how can we make work make the rest of our lives better? And I think if people thought about that as their frame, how do I find a job that makes the rest of my life better, rather than how do I find a job that I have to work so little I can focus on the rest of my life? The goal is, how do I create it so that they all make each other better, whether it's a job or a business? If people actually put this thought into it, how do I engineer my relationship so that I do things in my relationship that make my job better? How do I engineer my job so that I do things at my job that make my health better? And it's just that most people instead say, I'll separate these systems. But then every time you're doing one, you are quite literally taking from another and starving the other. Whereas they can feed each other and actually make each other better over time if we just put some thought into it. And the thing that sucks is that because it's so embedded in our culture to avoid work, to try and minimize work, to try and do less of it, then when you do get an opportunity where you work somewhere or build a business that you want more of, everyone else around you wants you to do less of it. And then what happens is that because you do not educate people on how your work makes you a better spouse, a better partner, a better friend, a better family member, they try to pull you away from it because they assume, they generalize that your experience is like theirs. And therefore, you create these two competing systems and then you never win. The only way to win is if you can make the systems, each system makes the other system better. And until people figure that out, I do not think that they can achieve work-life integration. Work-life integration is just one system, one understood thing, rather than looking at them separately and allowing them to feed off each other like parasites.
Hey guys, if you already don't know by now, I am actually fairly active on LinkedIn. I may go so far as to say it's actually become my favorite platform. So if you'd like to connect with me, just send me a request or hit follow. And shout out those who've been sharing my posts and tagging others.
If I am constantly growing as a person, I'm becoming more confident because I'm taking on challenges. I'm putting myself in uncomfortable situations that grow my self-esteem. And I'm putting time into things that matter to me, then do I think those are going to make me a better or worse partner for my spouse? Do I think those skills will translate? Do you think that a wife who shows up more confident, with a more autonomous sense of self, with more self-esteem, is going to be better or worse to her husband? Do you think she would be more valuable to his life, or do you think she will take more from his life? The more valuable we are as individuals, the more valuable we are in a relationship. And a lot of the times, if we can create an environment where our work makes us more valuable, then by consequence, it makes all of our relationships more valuable. The difficulty is a lot of people see one person becoming more valuable, and instead of saying, I should be inspired by them and also become more valuable, they say, come back down here with me. Don't work so much. Why do you try so hard? You look tired. I think that meaningful work is based on the person, which is it means something to you. So for me, my work to some people, lots of people look at me and say, you have all this money. Why are you still CEO? It's so much better to be an owner. It's so much better to own an asset that gives you dividends over time. I'm like, that's great. I have real estate, but what does real estate not give me? I don't think I'm making anyone's life better by owning real estate and making money off houses. I like making people's lives better, and it means something to me because I've had people make my life and I've had people make my life amazing. And I want to be the person for everyone else that makes their life amazing and better. And so I feel like I derive meaning from that because I get to choose what I want to do with my life and where I derive meaning. And I would like to do it in a way that benefits other people, not just me. I think that again, like people who seek out passive income, they seek out passive income because they're trying to avoid work more than they're trying to get income. It's not that they want income, it's that they don't want work, which again comes from this belief that work is bad and punishing. And I think actually a lot of it even passive income, because there's really not a lot that is passive and a lot of things are advertised that way. It's actually, I want to avoid people. Because what does work have you do? Interact with people all day. So a lot of people try to avoid people because of one or two bad ones. It's just like somebody doesn't get into a relationship because of one bad boyfriend. I think you have to figure out if you are truly being punished by the organization and boss, or you are punishing yourself for not meeting your own standards. And I think a lot of people cannot differentiate the two. They just look around at where they're at and say, oh, it's the job. It could also be the fact that you beat yourself up when you do not exceed standards set by other people. It could be the fact that you are a complete perfectionist and anytime something's not perfectly to order, you feel like you hate yourself. It could be the fact that you have the compulsion to work extra every day if one thing is not done, and therefore you overwork yourself. Where on the other side, if you have somebody who's forcing you to do those things, I would say that's a punishing work environment. But if you are the one forcing you, then that is just you. I mean, I think for good reason, changing your environment to change how you feel is smart because humans need to be efficient. We cannot put 10 out of 10 effort into everything. If every time you needed to change something, you had to do all these like crazy, it's much easier to just switch the situation, right? It's like there's some situations that it makes more sense. So that's sensible in my opinion. It's when it becomes a compulsion to switch situations that it's a problem. And when you're switching situations more than you are improving yourself. It's like, I'm going to constantly try to get into a new situation and I haven't even worked on myself in 6 years. It's like, well, what's the common denominator amongst all these circumstances? You've had 6 jobs, Sally. Why do you hate all of them with completely different bosses and completely different industries where other people liked it? Because a lot of people escape one job to go restart another job because they feel like they're not good at it or they suck, but then they're just even worse at the new thing, right? Because they don't have, there's the learning curve. And so they're not getting the compound returns on their skill as they would if they were to stay in the job that they're at. I think that the easiest way to change your mentality about work, if you are the kind of person who thinks I should minimize how much I work, work is punishing, is you put yourself somewhere where that is where you are the one standing out. I think that, for example, if somebody comes into acquisition.com who feels that way, they will quickly conform to the opposite. Because as humans, how do we survive? We blend in with everybody else that's in our clan or whatever. And so if somebody puts themselves in a situation where everyone else talks about how much they love work, they like working and they work more, how much work benefits their lives, they will very quickly change. I think a lot of people have friends who reinforce the belief that work is bad. You know, you've got Taco Tuesday, whatever, hump day, Friday, beer or something, turn Sunday, mimosas. And it's like, you literally are reinforced constantly by people who also have these two things that compete with each other. The more time you spend in your relationships, the more it hurts work. The more time you spend at work, the more it hurts your relationships. People say, why do you work with your spouse? And I'm like, if you understood this, you would do it too. Because every time I make my business better, it actually makes my husband's life better. And every time my husband makes himself better, it makes my business better, which makes me better. Who won? I think that the problem that remote work solves is that a lot of workplaces are punishing. And so what you get to do when you are remotely working is avoid a lot of the punishing situations. You don't have to interact with people nearly as much. There's many less social interactions. And the ones that you do have are in a much more controlled environment where people can get their shit together for 5 minutes to send a Slack. Or they can show up to a Zoom and like, basically put on a face for 30 minutes and then go back to whatever they were doing. I actually think that remote work has just allowed us to avoid work by disguise. The thing is, if the work is not bad, then you want more of it, then in-person makes sense. The reason some of the best organizations have wonderful workplace cultures and they have in-person headquarters and such is because they know that work doesn't need to be punishing and they engineer an environment where it's not. So people want to work more and they want more of those social interactions. Why are people moving to Vegas to work with acquisition.com? Why are our employees going from remote to working here? Because they come here for a week or two. They see that they like the social interactions because it's not a punishing place. And they say, gosh, I'd like more of that. And I think a lot of workplaces are just the opposite. Anything worth having is hard. And hard doesn't mean bad. And you don't need to make the hard times mean bad. And I think this is something that I've learned because even in my first business, it was so hard and I was so stressed that I was unhappy. And I was unhappy because I didn't know that it was okay for it to be hard. And that was actually a good thing. And even just the other day, I was talking to Alex and he said, you seem pretty stressed and like what you're doing is pretty hard right now. I said, but I'm happy. And I think, what more can you ask for than like when you're striving towards a goal that's really high, and there's a lot of hard things happening and you're stressed, you're also happy. And I think a lot of the times where that came from for me was just thinking that hard was bad. But now I have enough evidence to show me that every time I do something hard, my life gets better on the other side. It doesn't feel good while I'm going through it. Sometimes it feels terrible, but my life will be better in the long run. And so hard is good. The biggest superpower of all, I think, in people is people who can enjoy the negative feelings. They create a relationship with negative feelings where they don't run from them, but they actually embrace them because they know that they're going to come out a better version of themselves on the other side, better than they ever were. And I think that that's a huge attribute of successful people, at least of what I've witnessed, is you see it to the degree of people who are like, give me more, give me the hard stuff. That's not a coincidence. It's because they've created a relationship with all of the quote bad in life, whereas other people are just avoiding it because they've told themselves that that's a bad thing. They've told themselves that pain is bad. And there's many instances, pain is useful. Pain is good. Pain tells us a direction to go. I think a lot of people, when they talk about their mental health, take this with a grain of salt. I know what I'm talking about. They talk about what is, quote, not what is good for them, but what feels good for them. So people take at face value, if this feels depressing, if it angers me, if it feels hard, if it makes me feel bad about myself today, that's bad for my mental health. Whereas I would argue that if something makes you feel angry, depressed, anxious, sad for a day, maybe it's because it's a new experience, it's a skill you don't have, it's a challenge you're taking on. And if you get through that day, your mental health will be better for all those days after. I think a lot of people just prioritize the feeling good rather than the being good. And the reality is that most things that are good for us don't feel good. Most things that make our lives better don't feel good. Think about all the conversations that most people have in life that drive things forward. They're not easy. If I think about every pivotal conversation I've had in my life that made my life better, it was one of the hardest conversations I've ever had. The same goes for if I look at the pivotal moments in my life that made me better and made me stronger, they were the hardest moments of my life. But I trade those hard weeks or months for good years or decades. And a lot of people just are cashing in chips day after day, saying, you know what? It doesn't feel good. Try again tomorrow. If I feel good, I'll do it. If it feels good tomorrow, maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow won't make me as anxious. Maybe tomorrow I won't be as angry about it. Maybe tomorrow won't feel so hard. They say that day after day after day. And so we've gone into this cycle of where people perceive mental health to be feeling good rather than being and doing good. And I think that for me, understanding that the two are not the same and understanding that feeling bad in the short term is often good for me in the long term have been what have helped me turn my life around. I think the first step to not running away from hard stuff is to just learn how to stay where you're at. Most people, the moment that something is hard and the moment that something is challenging or uncomfortable, they immediately run away. They eat food, they drink alcohol, they whatever the fuck they want to do. And if you just sit with it, and if you just stay in the, you don't even need to dive into the hard situation. You just need to remain in the hard situation. The step that you take away from the situation, you just don't move. I think that's what you call patience. So it's like remaining patient in those hard situations and not doing anything. That's all. Most people have a compulsion to do something when an emotion occurs. An emotion occurs and they must take an action. And all that you need to do is allow emotion to occur and just do what you were going to do next, no matter what. Were you going to go eat breakfast with your spouse? Were you going to go to work? Were you going to leave work? Were you going to go play with your dog? Were you going to go watch a movie? You just have the emotion and go do that thing anyways. And what you teach yourself over time is that emotions are not directives. And just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean you need to let it dictate your behavior. And the first step to that is just not doing anything when you experience an emotion. And the funny thing is, whether you want it to or not, it's going to go away.